Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the January 24th meeting, 2013, of the San Luis Obispo Planning Commission. Commission Chairman Irving could not be with us today, so I will be acting as chairman for today's meeting. Ramona, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Christensen?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Topping?
Here.
Chairman Murphy?
Here.
Please let it be noted that Commissioner Irving is absent.
Okay, if everybody would please stand and join me in a pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On your agenda coming up, since those get scheduled way out in advance. So nothing large coming up. You'll just see regular items coming forward. And that's all, unless I can answer any questions.
All right, thank you. I guess we'll go to the consent agenda. Does any member of the public or commission wish to pull and speak to any item? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Ramona, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Christensen?
Aye.
Commissioner Campbell?
Aye.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Chairman Murphy?
Yes. All right, motion passes. Now go to hearing item number one. Ramona, would you please introduce the first hearing?
Hearing to consider a request by Pismo Coast Village Incorporated, Verizon, for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2011-00063, Supervisorial District 4, Alexandria Fowler, Project Manager.
All right, thank you. Unfortunately, I own property adjoining the property that is subject of this hearing. Therefore, I have a potential conflict of interest, and I'm going to have to recuse myself. Commissioner Christensen has agreed to chair this hearing, and then I will return for the second hearing. So it'll take us a few moments to change chairs, and then we'll be back in session.
Okay. Ha-ha. No. I've got the gavel again. No. Okay, so we had our introduction to hearing item number one, and we can go ahead and with our staff report.
Good morning, Commissioners. Alexandra Fowler, Planning and Building Department. The project today is a wireless communications facility, development plan, coastal development permit, project number DRC 2011-00063. The applicants are Pismo Coast Village Incorporated and Verizon Wireless. The project is an unmanned wireless communications facility contained within a 1,000-square-foot fence lease area. The facility would consist of 12 panel antennas and 2 GPS antennas mounted to a 70-foot-tall steel monopole configured to resemble a eucalyptus tree. It will have an emergency generator and an equipment shelter in the lease area. The project would result in the disturbance of approximately 1,500 square feet of a developed 19.57 acre parcel. The existing land use on that parcel is a fifth-wheel travel trailer long-term storage facility. The land use category is industrial. The location is 2180 Ariba Avenue in the village of Calendar Garrett. The planning area is the South County Coastal. Here's the vicinity map. The subject site is shown in red. It is just south of Willow Road along Sheridan and Ariba. Here's the land use category map. The property is in industrial. Here is an aerial photograph of the property. As you can see, there are some fifth wheels that are parked here already. Excuse me. Here's an overall site map. The lease area is proposed to be located in the northwest corner of the property, close to Sheridan Road. Here is the proposed lease area with the easements. The lease area would be here, fenced, and then the utility easements would run along this area right here. Here's a detailed site map. Now it's a little hard to read. Here's the equipment and antenna plans. The antennas would be in three sectors of four antennas each, which are shown right here. And then the eucalyptus foliage would cover those antennas. Here's the north and the east elevations. Here are the south and the west elevations. Here's the equipment and the cable layouts for the storage, for the equipment structure. Here's the photo simulation. As you can see, this is the existing site, and this is what the site would look like with the faux eucalyptus tree.
Fake. We've decided to use that this year.
With the fake eucalyptus tree. Again, here is a photo simulation from View 2 going towards Sheridan, and the tree is not present here, and then it's right here. And this is another photo simulation looking down Sheridan towards Willow Road. And as you can see, missions to the reference to the local coastal program for that. So finding number B, which is development plan, coastal development permit. The new language is underlined and should be all in yellow, but there is one section that is white right here, and I'll read what that finding would state. The proposed project or use is consistent with the San Luis Obispo County General Plan and the county's certified local coastal program because the use is an allowed use and as condition is consistent with all of the general plan policies and applicable local coastal program policies. The new finding would be finding G, which is coastal access. And the language would be, the proposed use is in conformity with the public access and recreation policies of Chapter 3 of the California Coastal Act because the project site is located approximately 3 miles from the sea and would not interfere with the established beach access and the surrounding community. In conclusion, staff recommends approval of the project. The motion would be approve the request by Pismo Coast Village Incorporated and Verizon Wireless for Development Plan Coastal Development Permit number DRC 2011-00063 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A as amended and with the conditions listed in Exhibit B of the staff report. Staff would be more than happy to answer any questions, and the applicant is present as well.
Great. Do we have any questions for our staff at this point? Commissioner Kim?
Yes, on page 1-2, the installation of the 48-kilowatt standby emergency generator. Is the diesel storage called out to be in a leak-proof vault or a containment structure around it, or how does it take shape?
It is not called out, but typically environmental health would regulate that. And
so that would take over at that point?
Correct.
Okay. Tanks are kind of fair game for people out target shooting and stuff.
Correct.
It's an important issue. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. I don't have any public comment slips, but I presume our applicant wants to speak, so I'm going to open public comment. And if you could just hand a peek speaker in later.
Absolutely. Good morning. Trisha Knight representing Verizon Wireless. I'm just available to answer any questions. Staff did a great job of summarizing the project. So if you have any specific questions for me, I'd be happy to answer those.
No, I don't see any lights.
Okay, I'll be right here.
Okay. I don't see any more speakers coming up, so we're going to go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Any questions or concerns from my vast commission today? Commissioner Topping.
This looks like a very straightforward application and fits well with the surrounding. And we had a case right across the street not so long ago, within the last year. And this is quite compatible with that. So I'm ready to make a motion for approval.
Okay. When I give you one, I just have one quick question, and then I'd be happy to entertain that motion. I just wanted to ask about the requirement that the chain link fence enclosure shall be green or painted green with interwoven wooden slats. So this enclosure is not actually within an enclosure already on the property. It's visible. That's why they want it green.
The existing property is completely fenced.
Okay.
And the South County Advisory Council,
right,
when they review the project,
right,
they requested that it have the green fencing around the lease area. I wasn't present at that meeting.
Okay.
The applicant didn't have any objections to that.
Okay.
I think that partly was to blend in with the tree.
Okay.
But the applicant had no objection.
I don't have any. If the applicant's okay with it, I just was confused about why they were worried about it being green since it's already inside another fence. But maybe the other fence will come down someday. You never know. Okay, so Commissioner Topping.
Yes, I'd like to make a recommend the following action by the commission: approve conditional use permit DRC 2011-00063 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B as modified.
Okay, yeah, just to make clear that the Exhibit A has been modified, not Exhibit
right.
B.
Right, that's correct.
Okay, so here a second.
A second by Campbell.
Thank you. Romano, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Excellent job, Commission. All right, Mr. Murphy, come on back. I've had my moment of power once again.
Coffee shop.
Sorry.
Would have made it.
You wouldn't know.
Okay. Sorry about that. Good morning, Carrie Brown, County Planning Staff. The project is an appeal of a planning director determination. The project site is located in Los Osos. Subject site is within the residential single-family land use category and approximately 5 acres in size. The site is improved with 17 residential units, most of which were moved to the site in the 1950s before land use and building permits were required. In the past, there have been more than 17 units, but some were removed due to substandard conditions and previous enforcement actions. Recently, the units were inspected by county staff to assure that the basic elements of a dwelling existed in the units, and all but two units could be considered dwellings. Here is a closer view of the aerial, and now I'm just going to show some photos of the site just to get a feel for some of the structures there. Here's one of them. I'm just going to quickly go through. You know, some are in really bad shape and some are in okay shape. Some of them could be lived in today and some of them could not. So these are just some of the structures on the site. And here's a site plan that actually shows the structures. The smaller studios are in the back portion of the site. Los Osos Valley Road is here, and there's some bigger structures here, a little RV there, and some duplexes along Pine Street. In 2007, a subdivision application was submitted to the County Planning Department for the subject site, and the application included documentation that all the occupants of the rental units were evicted in January of 2006. That subdivision application is currently on hold. The Planning Department received a written request by a prospective buyer of the site for a determination of whether the non-conforming use of land is considered discontinued and therefore cannot continue. The department issued a determination that the 17 dwelling units on one legal parcel, a residential use which exceeds the number of dwelling units allowed on the site on this property, was considered discontinued and therefore cannot continue. The Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance defines a non-conforming use of land. This site would fall under Definition 3 a residential use which exceeds the number of dwelling units allowed on the site by this title, Title 23. There are approximately 17 dwelling units on one legal parcel that makes up the site. The allowable density of on the site is 2 units, a primary and a secondary dwelling. The Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance further defines discontinued use. And if a nonconforming use of land is discontinued for a period of 6 months or more, or a nonconforming use of land in a building designed exclusively for that use is discontinued for 12 months or more, any following use shall be in conformity with all applicable requirements of this title, Title 23. Due to the fact that the residential units were unoccupied for a period of time that exceeded 1 year, the use is considered discontinued. 2 units may continue to be occupied. And it's probably important to note that the purpose of the nonconforming use regulations is to control, improve, or terminate uses that do not conform to the land use ordinance. So First California Bank, who is the current owner, appealed the planning director determination, and their primary basis of the appeal is that the section of our ordinance 2309-026C has been improperly interpreted and applied to the property. The appellant contends that previously this section was interpreted to mean that nonconforming use in its entirety must be discontinued for that section to apply. The appellant contends that the nonconforming use was never entirely discontinued, that there's always been some occupied residential uses on the site. The planning director, determination was made based on information previously provided that indicated all the residential uses were vacated by eviction in 2006 and were vacant for more than 12 months. The appellant now states some of the units were occupied, but they haven't given specifics, and this is a residential single-family land use category. So, two.
Appellant come up and make a presentation. How long do you think you need?
Less than 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. State your name for the record.
My name is Marshall Ohilski. I'm the applicant's representative. I'd like to welcome you into the new year here with the new chair, new vice chair. I'll try to make this presentation relatively brief. I think the issue here is that there's existing structures on this site, and where I think the primary issue comes up is the question of what's nonconforming. We believe that the use is residential. Okay, so the question really becomes on that regard, is the nonconforming density is extinguished because of the passage of time. Staff threw up the slide that speaks directly to residential, but we don't believe that it applies in this particular case. We believe that the issue here is not a nonconforming use. It's a nonconforming density. We've done a lot of research on this. In fact, if you go to the City of San Luis Obispo's ordinances, a higher density nonconforming density does not terminate under any conditions whatsoever. I can't find a single jurisdiction in the state of California where a nonconforming density terminates. I know legal counsel may have a different answer to that. So the issue really becomes, when you have a nonconforming density, does that use terminate? To put it in simpler terms, if I can't rent a unit for an X period of time, does that mean that that unit, then I lose the use of that? I mean, that's really the simple question here. The units were vacated for a subdivision map. They were reoccupied during that period of time. I don't have before me right now the actual occupancy figures, but we do know more than 2 of the units were occupied during that period of time. But again, we're looking at a project, and if you saw the houses, I mean, they're not high-stake houses here, and they're not million-dollar houses. a buyer who was interested in purchasing the property for disadvantage use, including his children to have his son to have housing at low cost to disadvantaged people, was interested in purchasing this property. He went and talked to planning staff. Planning staff said that they could be reoccupied. He then, upon the advice of his counsel, went for a director's determination. That determination came down differently. So we believe the original interpretation by staff is correct. But I think it's a pretty relatively straightforward question that needs to be answered here. Does the nonconforming density terminate rather than does is it a nonconforming use? And then secondly, the fact that some of those units were occupied during that period of time, we can come back to staff and come up with documentation to show which one of those units were occupied, but there was clearly homeless people, et cetera, occupying them. That raises the secondary issue. If somebody lives in a unit for one day without a rental agreement, does that then terminate that one-year vacancy period? Again, I think it goes back to the issue of the higher density, not the conforming, the non-conforming use. With that, I'll answer any questions, and I'd like to reserve some time to come back up after additional comment from the public. I think my letter contains all the other issues, and I really don't have anything to add at this point.
Does any commissioner have any questions for the appellant?
No.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll open it to public comment. I have two speaker slips. Again, if you wish to speak, fill out a speaker slip, submit it here to the commission. First one I'll call is Jeff Edwards. If you'd come forward and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a 35-plus-year resident of Los Osos, and I've been a licensed real estate broker in the community since 1980. I support the staff recommendation and the planning director determination. While I empathize with the bank and their interest, or the appellants, and their interest in getting this property off their books, I don't think a restoration or remodel of the units on this property is appropriate. You heard a little bit of the history from staff. I'll expand on that a bit. The units were moved onto the property. They were Camp San Luis units that were moved onto the unit, so are onto the property back in the 50s after World War II. Commit to your commission that they didn't just miss this year by a year and a day or a year and a month or even 2 years. It's been 7 years since these properties were vacated. I don't know if any of your commissioners had a chance to go by the units or conduct personal visitation, personal inspection, but I think really if you're there, it really hits you pretty hard. I'd like to submit some pictures for the record. They're similar to the ones that your staff showed you, but I'd like to have you take a peek. I don't want to be derogatory, but these units, I've traveled throughout Venezuela, and really these units are not unlike the slums in Caracas, only the slums in Caracas on our hillside. This is a little flat. I'd like to close just by raising one more issue. And there are other things than non-conforming uses related to density. There are other non-conforming use issues like setbacks and other physical components, and I don't think it complies in that regard either. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker is Julie Tacker.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker. I also live in Los Osos and have for 42 years. These residents were old when I was a little girl, and I'm here today to support staff's recommendation, but wanted to raise some issues should you consider deviating from the staff's recommendation, and that would be in the perspective of public and tenant health and safety matters related to the property. This property is inside the sewer prohibition area. That's a different story, but Los Osos and its groundwater issues have a long history, and this particular property is likely to have been one of the big contributors to the pollution issues in Los Osos. The septic systems cesspools, 55-gallon drums, whatever's under the ground in there for the sanitation of those buildings is as old as those buildings. And so I would certainly like to see them hook up to the sewer before any occupation or reoccupation of those dwellings, or new septic systems that are compliant with today's building codes. The other issue that I had was with water service. Part of the property is served by a municipality, and I understand in another part of the property has a domestic well. I would support that all use come from the municipality because any well would conflict with the septic system. And then that the municipalities in Los Osos are managing the groundwater in a way that the domestic wells are not necessarily doing as good a job or in concert with that management. The buildings should be brought up to current fire code, and that would include fire hydrants and fire truck access. I think that's something to consider, and that would take some time and expense. Mr. Ohilski's letter suggests a disadvantaged population, and I would further suggest that the dwellings, should they be re-inhabited, that they would have to be ADA compliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker is Ken Christensen.
Thank you. I live at 599 Rosina Drive, and my property abuts the property in question.
Could you give your name, please?
My name is Ken Christensen.
Thank you.
And obviously, these are not attractive buildings. You could call them an eyesore. On the other hand, I'm perfectly content with the status quo because it's very quiet. My concern is what's going to happen down the road. These semi-abandoned, ugly-looking buildings cause absolutely no problem and are very quiet in my backyard. What I'm concerned of is future development there. I'd rather have the existing structures than a bunch of McMansions breathing down my back. My concern is what's going to happen down the road. If this is allowed a variance now, does it change the future zoning? Does it change what can happen in the future? Does it change what the bank can do down the road with the properties? So, two things. One, I'm perfectly content to leave things the way they are. And two, what does this mean down the road? Can any of you answer that question for me?
Not during public comment, anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? If not, I'll close public comment. And ask the applicant if you, I guess that's part of public comment. If you'd like to make any additional statements, read.
Thank you. I appreciate just a few moments. As far as the occupancies on that. And staff can answer the question of what the ultimate build-out is, but I don't think that whether these units are reoccupied or not has a bearing on what the build-out would be. There's regulations in county ordinance as far as what the subdivision of the property could be, how many lots it could be subdivided into. So that's really a question of staff. And I know that the current application, I believe, has 12 lots, if I'm not mistaken, with the 10 lots, with half of the property being vacant. So that was the subdivision map that was submitted for approval. So I think pretty much we still believe that these units can and should be reoccupied. So we would hope that you would uphold the appeal. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Does the staff have any comments on public comment?
I just have one comment. Mr. Christensen was wondering what would happen to the site, you know, in the future. You know, even if the units were reoccupied, someone in the future could pursue subdivision or redevelopment of the site. It is a 5-acre site in a residential single-family land use category. The previous subdivision was for 10 lots, but they also had said that once the sewer is available, they wanted to do increase that to maybe 26 units there. But they were only giving credit for 10 units now for the septic. So the regional board, since there is a moratorium in Los Osos, the regional board reviewed the uses at the site and determined that they could have 10 new units in exchange for what's there. And so that was the current, that's the current application that's in with the county.
Mr. Chairman, just to tag on, that's today's situation. Once the sewer is in and a moratorium lifted, you kind of erase everything, and it is residential single family, so they could propose to do 6,000 square foot lots, 10,000 square foot lots because of the planning area standard, served by water and sewer. So, you know, it's whatever that site would handle. I also wanted to make a comment. The applicant's representative asked about, well, if you have an apartment and the apartment is vacant for a year because you don't have somebody in it, does then that use go away? Well, as long as the apartment is in residential multifamily and therefore is not a nonconforming use, then of course you could keep it vacant for a year and put a person in it a year later without any problems because it's not a nonconforming use. The problem in this case is that our ordinance actually defines when you exceed the density that's allowed under the zoning today, that's actually a nonconforming use. So different from maybe the city's ordinance, we actually define it that way and then go on to say if a nonconforming use is discontinued for 12 months, then it's no longer a nonconforming use. I mean, it's no longer being allowed to continue.
All right, thank you. Any more from staff? All right, I'll bring it back to the commission for deliberations. And Commissioner Topping, I see your light on. This is your district.
Yes, I read the staff report the other day and visited the site and noticed that most of the structures are boarded up and that the structures along the north side appear to be very small and very run down. That's along the next to the residential subdivision on the north. And they actually have no street access. There's only a dirt track entry from Los Osos Valley Road marked with private property warning signs. And there's a loop, kind of a driveway that serves several of those units. And this led to my question, and that would be if the property were to be rehabilitated some way, how would those units get legal access?
Well, they could technically park on Pine Street and still and walk to their units. They don't necessarily need, you know, parking on that site. They can come from Los Osos Valley Road, and I think that's what they've done in the past.
For fire protection purposes, is that adequate?
I'm not sure. I would have to check with CAL FIRE.
And then I only saw one home that appeared to be occupied, although there were a couple of cars parked around. Do you have any idea what the current occupancy is?
My understanding is only one of the units is currently occupied.
There was one with trash barrels out on the southeast corner of the site, I noticed, and that was the only one that I could see.
Yes.
Appears to have somebody in it right now. I had some questions that I sent in late yesterday because my email wasn't working.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
use.
The standard.
Illegal use is generally not the standard.
Yeah, so if it were a homeless person or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Orton from County Council. I would just add that the predecessor in interest to the bank when they filed their subdivision application, if the homes were occupied by lower moderate income people, there's a coastal requirement that there be one-to-one replacement units. And so when they filed their application, the staff indicated that the homes were vacant so they could avoid that requirement.
And I'm not clear on how many of those. Apparently there's 15 units that could be considered dwellings because they have kitchens and bathrooms, but I don't know how many of those have water and power connections and are actually structurally sound enough to permit occupancy.
Well, they would need to, there would need to be some repair and maintenance done to some of the units, most of the units. But my understanding is they all have water and power, and they were all being used for, you know, up till 2006.
Okay. As far as the density goes, the land is subdividable, and the maximum density would be whatever is allowed under zoning. It could be a couple dozen houses, ultimately, if sewers come in, right?
Correct, but that's in multifamily, you're allowed numbers of units on a single lot. Mm-hmm. Because this is single family, you're allowed a primary and a secondary on a single lot. So that's the allowed density under single family, and that's the rub here.
But this is not multifamily. It's single family, but on the other hand, it is subdividable.
It's subdividable, but that's not how density is determined in single family.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That answers my questions.
All right. Commissioner Christensen.
Yes, I don't really actually have any questions. I don't actually have a question. I just wanted to note that that the condition of the units and the access to the units and the zoning of the units in terms of what's going to happen in the future are all fairly irrelevant to our decision today. Today, our decision is about basically two things, which is, one, is this a nonconforming use? And I think our law is very clear. It says it right there what it is. And I think Mr. Uhilski's, you know, comments about whether density is a nonconforming use, are, you know, it's a good try, but I think the language is pretty darn clear about whether this is a nonconforming use or not. And it is a nonconforming use. It's a residential use which exceeds the number of dwelling units allowed on the site by this title. So that part is really clear. Then the next question comes down to exactly what Mr. Topping talked about, is whether or not this use was discontinued. And from what I can tell from the record and the staff report, and it hasn't been contraindicated by any public testimony, is that, yes, the use was discontinued. I mean, there was documentation that everything was vacated, and if there is somebody living on that, there's only one unit living, and so that doesn't get you up to continuous use. And it's possible that there were illegal uses, illegal people occupying, but that, again, does not really count as continuous use. So you really, I mean, in my opinion or my thoughts are just that the planning director made a correct decision, and I'm ready to uphold that decision and deny this appeal when we hear a motion.
All right, thank you. I guess it comes back to me. Yeah, to me, the question comes down to whether or not occupancy is required in order to determine use of the property is really the key question. And, you know, it was clearly a nonconforming use. And the question, did that nonconforming use discontinue? The nonconforming use talks about a residential use, and it also talks about dwelling exceeding a certain number. So I went back and read a whole bunch of different definitions and things, and the residential use, as it's defined currently, and this is in Title 22, not 23, is any land use element in a residential group. So that would include multifamily or single family or whatever. So that kind of creates an issue. And then the other one had to do with the number of dwellings. The definition of dwelling basically just speaks to the building itself and the facilities and what's in the building, but has no reference to occupancy in the definition of dwelling. So at that point, it looks like there were dwellings on the property exceeding the number allowed. Even though they weren't occupied, they're still considered dwellings. I think maybe staff had kind of made that same statement. And so that's kind of the direction I'm leading right now, even though I agree. Structure. There's a lot of other issues and problems out there, maybe, but in terms of the issue that was appealed here, the way I read the ordinance, I would have to favor upholding the appeal. Okay. Because that's the way I interpret the ordinances and feel that the way they're spelled out, the letter of the law, so to speak.
Okay. Question, yeah. Ms. Brown, or perhaps Cammie. As a new commissioner, I've received Title 22 and read it, but I haven't received 23 yet. Is there anything specifically that addresses nonconforming density rather than the word use? Mm-hmm.
We,
as is Mr. Ohilski's point,
we have non-conforming use of land, non-conforming building structure or site development.
But again, the word use is used. Is there anything that refers to density as he was talking about?
No.
But that ordinance itself does have a specific paragraph stating that in residential cases exceeding the number allowed by the land category is a non-conforming use. So it does address density as being a non-conforming use specifically in that ordinance that we're talking about. Ken?
Yeah.
Mr. Topic?
So this is Title 23, and Title 22 has... what relationship to this property?
This is, the site is located in the coastal zone, and so Title 23 applies and not Title 22.
And under Title 23, residential use is defined in the definitions there, and it's any use listed in the land use element and the residential group is how it's defined.
So it's the same definition as Title 22. There are definitions in 23 because I couldn't find them.
Yes, Chapter 11 of Title 23 is the definition section.
Oh, thank you.
Well, ready to make a motion.
What is your pleasure here? Does anybody have any other comments, or do you want to?
Well, I think the question here is one of continuity, and that's the principal technical issue. So it's pretty clear that continuity has been interrupted for some considerable period of time, and the property is boarded up as a result of the discontinuity. So I'm prepared to make a motion to uphold the director's position.
Based on the findings listed in Exhibit A?
Okay. I move that we deny the appeal based on the findings listed in Exhibit A.
I'll second it.
Motion is second. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, Ramona, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Chairman Murphy?
No. The appeal is denied. I guess it's the right term, or the... The scissors upheld, one or the other. The appeal is denied, I guess. All right. Oh, no.
You may indicate the appeal rights.
This action is appealable to the Board of Supervisors, I think is what Mr. Orton is referring
right.
to.
All
for
right.
the applicant.
No. Aware of that? Okay, very good. All right. At this point, I guess, do we need a motion to take all testimony documents into the record?
So moved.
Second.
Somebody second it.
Second?
Oh, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So, a motion to adjourn this meeting till our next meeting on February 28th.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Meeting's adjourned.
So, enjoy it while it lasts.